Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. Once again, I'm joined by Mr. Lee Curtin and Kofi, my two partners in crime. Thank you guys for joining me today. How are you doing, lads?
Yeah, good, mate. Thank you.
So this is a bit of a weird higgledy-piggledy show this week because we've recorded it in a few parts and we've had contributions from different people. So bear with us. But firstly, obviously, we need to talk about the Forest game, which we did a few days ago. So let's take us back now to Monday when we spoke about the Forest game. And here's what we had to say.
I mean, from my perspective, it just seems to be deja vu now with this team this season. I don't know what's going on, especially with the first half. What is happening? I mean, obviously, we went 1-0 in. I mean, we went in at halftime 1-0, but we were not playing well at all. And surely, when we are going to come up against a team who can finish, we are going to get thumped. Because it was the same against Chelsea. It was the same against Wolves. And it was the same against Forest. Like, they were creating chances. They weren't clear-cut chances. I mean, obviously, there was that header from, I think it was Yates. Yeah, but I mean, this is the problem. This is becoming a problem, right? And if people think that, you know, I know there was a stat today that I've read that I think since the beginning of March, we have accrued the most points, more than any other team within that period. And that includes wins against City and a draw against Liverpool and obviously a draw against Chelsea, which is amazing statistically. But I still am not confident based on what I'm seeing. So it's a very strange situation at the moment because I don't think we're playing well. I honestly don't think we're playing well. Like, we're not creating that many chances. We're not scoring that many goals. And this is not the Tottenham that we're used to. However, we're still not conceding that many. And we are up the top half of the table. Like, you know, so we're sitting on 10 points for 12 games. So it's a very, very strange situation to be in. So, Don, are you worried as well? Like, what's going on? This is a really weird situation. I don't know what to say. Like, we could have easily lost that game. And I know, I suppose, before you comment, I know we are in a Premier League with lots of different teams, with lots of different class players. And I understand that there's only a few teams within that league who have clinical finishers like we do. So we're very fortunate to have Kane, because Kane will get us out of games. And the same with Son last season. And I'm sure Richarlison and Kulusevski, you know, they can be that good. Forest don't have those kind of players. I know they signed a few good forwards. I know they signed Dennis, but he's not of that calibre. And Wolves also don't have that kind of player at the moment. Obviously, Jimenez coming back from injury. And Chelsea don't have a recognised forward in that respect. So, you know, those kind of teams, we're fortunate that we're playing those kind of teams or the players that don't have those kind of players. That's not always going to be the case. And my fear is that, I mean, we might even see it on Wednesday or, you know, Mitrovic on Saturday, whether we do come up to against a player who's in form, who can finish those chances. So should we be worried? Or am I just being a normal, pessimistic, negative Spurs fan, like many, many others out there, I'm sure listen to this show as well. What's going on? What is the situation here? I'm going to come over to you, Don.
Like yourself, I think there is an element of, you know, I felt definitely that we are very fortunate to have Kane at this stage. But I think we're very fortunate to have, you know, a world-class manager, because he's taken that form and it's consistently, it's actually, this form has just started into this season. So whilst I am slightly worried about our starts, and like you, I was thinking, well, we probably need to start relying more on the new signings that we've made. I think that he is doing the right thing and bringing a consistent, bringing that form, even though it doesn't feel like we're starting the games in the right way, you know, we're getting the results, so we can't deny that. There's plenty of games coming up. They're coming up thick and fast, so we will see changes within there. I think we're going to, the squad has a lot of depth now, and so players will get opportunities, and with that, potentially get their opportunity to impress the manager enough to start game. So I'm not as worried as I should be. I think our defence has been really good, actually. I think that it's been, I mean, there are issues with certain players. I'm not going to mention any names at this point in time. But I do think we're performing at the same, if not a higher level than we were last season. And that goes for the entire back five, if I should say that. So,
yeah.
Concerns, I don't know. Maybe it's just being a Tottenham fan, but I'm not. I don't think it's pressed the panic button time.
No, I agree with that. But I mean, it's a weird situation, to be fair. So, Lee, obviously, before I go to you, we got to talk about Sanchez, because obviously his stat is another one that I'm going to put out. But it's, I think, 10 hours now since he's conceded a goal, which is just incredible. I think it was a Mahrez penalty that was the last time that that he conceded a goal when he was on the pitch. So 10 hours of football.
Just quickly, though, Neil, before you ask the question to Kurtz, can we tell our listeners the nickname that we have, or Kurtz has given to Sanchez? Because maybe there's a few from the last podcast that probably know, but let's just make sure that everyone knows what he's called.
Are you talking about Happy Feet?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, bless him. So shout out to Sanchez, because he has, as I said, been part of that amazing stat. So and long may it continue. So I always go to you and talk about the lineups, Lee. And there was no surprise in the lineups, to be fair, I suppose, because it was exactly the same. Obviously, Perisic now starting on the left, and he had a very good game again. I thought obviously he was involved in the penalty incident, because it was a good cross down the line. Which he then obviously was handled by Cook. Should have been sent off, I think. I don't know. Are we in agreement that he should have been sent off?
It was, yeah, absolutely.
Got scoring opportunity. It's a bit weird. I don't really know how the level of the ball is going to affect that. He was literally, the ball was about to hit his head, so a bit strange. But anyway, very good save by Henderson, I must add. That was class. And the fact he went the same way, I thought was... Kane always goes that way. It's like 80% of his pens went that way. So I was surprised that he did go that way again. With obviously, he said he was trying to go high in the interview afterwards on Sky. He said he was actually trying to get it higher than that. And I've obviously seen those go in many a time. So lineups were the same. But let's talk about the central midfield, because I know that this is a matter of contention in the team and on the podcast that we have every week, in terms of, like, is Bissouma going to be starting? Is Højbjerg doing enough? Is Bentancur doing enough? And then obviously we have the Emerson Royale conundrum on the right-hand side, we will come to in a second. So let's firstly start with those centre midfield pairing, because Højbjerg's stats were pretty good, I must admit. I did share them in the group earlier on, but they were pretty good. And also he was involved in the breakaway goal, the Kane second header, because he did put that pass through to Sessegnon, who then absolutely... did not. I mean, that was, if we hadn't scored that goal, then Sessegnon would have been surely coated, because that was why he delayed that pass. He still has that sort of hesitancy in his head, yeah. But that was absolutely awful. That was like really, really bad play not to release Kane earlier. That was absolutely shocking. And you could see why Kane was so annoyed. And the fact Kane cleared his head in time to actually get a goal from Richarlison. So Sessegnon was a lucky boy there, because that was absolute pony. And then Højbjerg also did play through Kane for the one-on-one in the first half, which was saved, I think, by Doran, who came in from the back with a good tackle. So he's doing a little bit more progressive passing, maybe even than Bentancur at the moment. So what do you think is going on in that midfield engine at the moment? And what do you think is going to happen in the next few weeks in terms of movement? Obviously, Skip is looking like he may be returning, so that's another one to sort of put into the mix. What are your thoughts on both of those performances on Sunday?
Yeah, it's like I say, it's much discussed. And I think when we look around, I think most of the discussion comes from the fact that we signed Bissouma. And when you get a new signing, all the fans want to see him. But we've just spoken about our stats there and this unbeaten run and this run we've been on. While we're not setting the world alight with the football, we've got more points than any other Premier League team, in those last so many months. So although it's not tickling everyone's fancy, it's working. So, you know, we're looking at it going, yes, we could be more clinical. So we look at the forward line and we go, but actually we've been quite solid at the back, and Romero gets a lot of credit for that. And shoring up the back line, those guys will get a lot of credit for that. But actually, you've got two guys who sit in front of them, and that they've got to take the pats on the backs for the zeros as much as the assists, or what we perceive is lack of assists. And that then starts the argument: where's the creative player? We need a creative midfielder. If you have a creative midfielder, you can't have both of them too. And then you leave yourself a lot more wide open. And I don't think you can do that when you've got the right back situation that we have going on. So
you almost want one of each, though, don't you? Really, like, you know, you want someone to sit and you want someone to be that driver or that creator from that center midfield. You do need those people to release passes, or you're not going to move on.
You do, but they can. What we have seen is, and I know we spoke about Højbjerg a little bit, and it's probably more his end product on a consistent basis is what kind of grates with people a little bit. I sometimes find he just plays safe for over 5 yards, 10 yards. But we have seen forward through balls. I think when he first signed, when we took Man United to the cleaners, I think he played like a defence cutting pass, like, you know, 30 yards through, and we ran on and went. We all sat there, went happy days. We found someone who could open them up.
Great,
you know, so he has got it in his locker, but it's probably just like not consistent enough. Or Conte's now in his head saying, all right, this is why you play for Southampton. You went sideways, you broke stuff up, and you play very, very safe. You've got much better players around you now. You've got much more clinical players in front of you. So let's get that ball forward. Let's get them involved. He's got it in his locker. So we're probably just starting to see that now. And we're probably starting to see him believing that the manager believes in him. So it's starting to show on the pitch. He's taking a risk or two.
He does get quite a lot of assists for Denmark. So it's, he does get involved.
With Bentancur, he's not doing nothing wrong. He's not setting the stands alight. And everyone's going, oh, it's great, that's brilliant. I understand that. But you know what? It's working. The formation, the way we're playing, is working. And we have spoken about not starting games well. We have spoken about we're going to give somebody a chance and we won't be able to get it back. That's our style of football at the moment. You know, unfortunately, that's our style of football. And we spoke, me and Kofi had a little discussion earlier, and we are giving, you know, we're giving up 20% of possession at times and 30% of possession at times. So we're sitting there taking 30% possession and we're giving teams like Nottingham Forest 70% in phases of the game. And yeah, we recognise they're not clinical enough to punish us, but we're also comfortable. You know, we must talk about that. We must practice that. You know, we're going, right, you know, let's let them have the ball. What we do recognise is we will score. We will be more clinical. So you've heard the trust the process, you know, and we've probably got to trust that we're going to give teams a bit more possession and let them have it, but they need to make it count. And I'm probably sure that if there's better teams, we won't give them that much. We will press a little harder and a little quicker in certain areas. But if you're going to Forest, you know, no disrespect to them, you know, but if you're going to go to Forest, we're going to go to Bournemouth and those sort of teams, we're going to say to them, you know what, here's the football. Because what they're not set up to do and what they don't practice week in, week out is having 70% of the football in the Premier League. They don't do that. That's not their practice. They're about survival. So actually, when they get 70% of the football, they go, all right, we weren't expecting this much of it. What do we do with it? You know, we're just lined up going, you're going to give it to us and then we're going to give it to Son, Kane and Kulusevski and you're going to be 1-0 down. Thanks for coming.
Do you know what? Kurt, I kind of never really thought of it that way. I always thought that some of our players aren't used to not having the ball. Like Bentancur seems to me like a player that if we've got more possession, he's going to look better. Do you know what I mean? Once you've got it, he's going to like give it to me, bang. You know, he's that kind of player. Whereas when we haven't got the ball, he doesn't look as comfortable as other players. I mean, we talk about Royale. Royale eats it up, mate. He loves the fact that he hasn't got it. He loves it.
And that's the difference, isn't it? You have some players who they will go, give me the ball. And they'll always take chances. They always want to be on it and they're prepared to try and make things happen, you know, win it or lose it. Bentancur does, he likes to have the ball and he has lost it outside of the 18-yard box a few times, which makes everyone really, really bloody nervous given our history. You know, and the fact that we're trying to progress, you go, you could have just got it out. But he's actually going, now, I don't want to bang it long. Let's keep it short, but let's do it quickly. And when he hasn't got the ball, he's probably learning now where Conte's going, when we haven't got it, sit in a hole here or sit in a hole here and make a wall and make them get past you. But don't force it. And he's probably not used to that. you know, while Højbjerg is used to that. That is Højbjerg, you know, that's what he done at Southampton. He's like, form a wall and try and break it up. Mm. Whereas Benton Kerr's like, yeah, I'll sit here, but give me the ball when we get it. So, yeah, he's probably just adjusting to a whole system as well. I think ultimately that'll be Conte's next kind of subs. That'll be what's going on in his head. You get to the 70th minute, you've given the team 70% possession of the ball and they've failed to break you down, that you put on Sessegnon on one side and then Spence on the other side, and all of a sudden you've got out-and-out pace going down the wings. So he's clearly trying to work with their decision-making, their quality of the final ball, you know, to make it beneficial for us, to make it work, really, to make it beneficial. But it'd be frightening. What a frightening prospect if they can, you know, they can pull that last pass out of their arses.
No, you mentioned as well, I think, I mean, going back to Cess, there is that delay, isn't there? It's still there.
Seriously, that chance just killed it, man. That was a goal. Mm. I think that was a goal. I don't know if it turned into a goal, but like, there was a pass there all day long. What is he doing? Like,
now, when I look at our left back selection and even Reggie going out the door, I think Reggie would have been able to pass that.
He's done a similar thing before. But he might have even taken it on himself and just fallen over, because that seemed to be his thing. Like, he just seemed to forget what he was doing, and then it just like he got snipered. What happened? Where was the shot? Like, fucking everyone's looking for the fucking grassy knoll. Like,
Kane just blanked him once he scored the goal. I mean, I think Sessegnon was the closest player to him, and he made sure that he didn't even look at him. He was like, "Where's Richarlison? There you are."
Yeah. What a ball that was!
I didn't even clock it the first time he did it, or even the second time. It was like later on when I was watching it back again, and then I see him switch like his body shape to get it with the outside of his right boot. That is unreal, unreal.
Real quality.
So, Kofi, who do you think is to blame for this sort of like Jekyll and Hyde performances that we're coming out with, in terms of like a lack of intensity in the first half? Is that coming from the midfield engine that Lee spoke about, in terms of the defensive qualities they offer, but maybe not the drive and the sort of the ambition going forward? I mean, obviously, it also comes from the manager, doesn't it? So to lead your team out, or to at least send your team out with a real sort of like ready for war type thing. Like, obviously for the bigger games, I'm imagining that they will be like that. Even saying that, they weren't particularly good in the first half against Chelsea. So what is that reason? What do you think it is? Because I understand what Lee's saying in terms of like, if you are going away to Forest, then you can concede possession and we'll try and hit him on the break. But at home to Wolves, that's not what the home fans want to see. And that's not the way we should be playing. And we gave them a lot of possession. And not only that, we gave them some decent chances as well. So where do you think it's coming from?
It's an interesting one, because it's hard to blame an individual. You know, the team are coming out and they're not really firing. You know, and there's, you know, classically with us and I guess with a lot of teams, if it's not happening in the first 20 minutes, the crowd tends to go. Now, I haven't noticed the crowd going, because actually we're getting results and we've bought some players and we like the manager. So there's a lot of positivity. So the crowd isn't really
going at Wolves. It was going at Wolves. Definitely.
We are. Okay. It's interesting that, you know, in the 40th minute or so, you're thinking, right, we need half time. We need half time, and we need them to get in there and for Conte to tell them what for, put a rocket up them, and hopefully we'll be better in the second half. And in at least a couple of games, we've come out in the second half and we've been stronger. But as you say, why isn't that fire there in the first few minutes? Because absolutely they're in the change room with Conte before the match. So get them fired up for kickoff. Why are we waiting for half time for the half time talk? So, you know, I don't know what it is. I can't point the finger at an individual, but somehow the team just, I don't know, they're just not fired up at the beginning of the games. And we're giving people opportunities, giving people chances. You've got to feel that the players must know that performances haven't been great and we've been able to get points. You know, we've got so many points on the board where, you know, it's been last minute or we've gone against them on a play that they must be thinking, right, guys, come on, we need to do it. So, as I say, I think there'll be a change and a bit more dynamism, a bit more positivity, and we'll see something more against West Ham.
We hope. Don, you look like you were itching to say something, but you put yourself on mute. So if you need to unmute yourself. And then...
Sorry, I was going to say it's a bit like, you know, two boxers feeling themselves out, you know, just before like that first and second rounds where you're just trying to establish your jab. And that's how I feel when I watch Spurs, that we're spending a lot of time just trying to work stuff out before we actually do anything.
But surely we would already have worked that out in terms of that's what the whole week of preparation is for. And it's not, especially in the kind of like the games like the Wolves games, we shouldn't be reacting to how they're playing. We should be really imposing our game on them. Surely that is the level of our team now, is to basically be pushing forward and you know, it just feels like it's just there's a drive, and sometimes Kane goes quiet and obviously Son's been quiet, you know what I mean? And so if those two aren't involved and if Kulusevski's not getting much of the ball, again, it's like, where does it come from? All it's going to happen is like that same Wolves game, like I was saying on the pod last week, is this game going to go back and forth, Dyer and Holberg, Bentancur goes out to win back and then it comes back. It's an interesting one. I don't know if I've got the answer. Excuse me, don't know if I've got the answer. I haven't.
No, I just on that, I think sometimes we don't want to blame individuals. And you'd like to think that if you come out at kickoff that you approach everything with the right intent, the right tempo. And it's sometimes there still seems to be a little bit of nervousness somewhere. And it's hard to pinpoint particular players, but you could, because you know the ones that ain't comfortable on a ball. And also, it's you look at Son. Son's a massive outlet for us. Kulusevski's an outlet for us. Kane's an outlet for us. And actually, when one of them ain't firing, like Son, he's just not firing right now. His decision-making ain't great. He's snatching at stuff. That all of a sudden, you actually stop using one channel and you start switching out to the other more and more. So you actually give teams a bit of an idea of how to stop you. That's when you need to get into half time. That's when the manager's saying, right, okay, this is what we're going to do to adjust it. This is what I want you to do to make it a little bit different. This is where I want you to move the ball one touch quicker, or I want so-and-so to come 5 yards deeper and let somebody else run into his channel. That can be a combination sometimes, the why we ain't getting to the tempo that we need to be. Players know, you know, if you've played football and you've been in a dressing room, you can be teammates and have great lads and the right banter in the change room and the good boys. But, you know, if you give them the football, their arse is going to go in certain areas of the pitch and you try and bypass them. But sometimes...
Is that the same with Sonny, though? Because Sonny only had 26 touches of the ball And he was the least, you know, of all the players on the pitch, or Spurs players, should I say.
I feel with Sonny, he'd never hide. But what I think Sonny's looking for at the moment is, rather than have the ball in his half, he's looking to be slid in. He's looking for the ball to be put in front of him so he can run in on goal. Sonny needs that bread and butter chance. He needs what he does best is going in one on one, opening his body up and putting it away. That's what he needs. He doesn't really want to play with his back to goal, and he doesn't want to do it in our half of the pitch. So maybe. I wouldn't ever accuse him of hiding. Maybe just that we're not moving the ball into areas of the pitch that he would want it in quick enough. And actually, when Conte gets him in at half-time, he could be pointing those things out. You know, we've spoke about Bentancur and Højbjerg, and maybe they're not the ones letting it go quicker. And you do 70 minutes of running and the ball don't come your way. You know, your tank gets empty. You get flustered. You get frustrated. And we've seen his reaction on Sunday. And then when somebody else comes on, we give them the ball. And then it's Sod's law as a sub. You get taken off. The geezer that replaces you, and he gets that pass that you've been waiting 70 minutes for. and he runs on and makes it look something, you know. That's the way it is. So we can be just talking very simply about one or two players. That's all. Because we do find that tempo.
match of the day too, that Sonny was running for the ball and pulling defenders away. And that allowed the pass into Kane and Kane the space for him to go and shoot and score. So Sonny's making runs. He's definitely not hiding. But for one reason or another, he's just off form.
Yeah. And that's the dirty work of a forward sometimes. You know, you do all the running around, pulling players right, left and centre. Kane runs on, should have had a hat trick, but he didn't. But Kane runs on, gets a couple of goals, one in the 6-yard box. Sonny's thinking, that should have been me, or why isn't that dropping for me? But there'll be games when it will go the other way. Listen, didn't Kane do that for him last year? You know, when Kane was dropping to the edge of the 18-yard box, dragging people with him and spinning those long balls into Sonny, and it was going his way. So it's only a matter of time, but those little things can be maybe why sometimes we're just not getting to the level and the tempo that we want quick enough.
So it was the Champions League draw this week, which was very exciting. We were all ready with our laptops and our phones, trying to sort out flights, trying to work out when it was. It took ages to come. And it was like 7:30 in the morning, I think, maybe. Or I don't know, because I'm in Spain. I think the hour's a bit wrong. But it was quite early on the Saturday morning when eventually the fixtures got announced. Obviously, we already knew the group, but it was the fixtures that we wanted to find out. For some reason, I got my dates mixed up when I was looking at it. I was half asleep. I ended up booking a flight to Lisbon on the day after the game, which was a really brilliant idea. So that's cost me an extra 150 quid. But anyway, we're going to be going to Lisbon and hopefully going to go to Frankfurt as well. So it's going to be lots of fun. Were we all very pleased with the draw? Because it was one of those ones that it's a bit scarily too good in terms of the fact that obviously it could have been so much worse. Like league position wise, Frankfurt are like about 12th. You know, the only reason they're in the Champions League is they beat Rangers on penalties in the Europa League. And I mean, that's the level of their quality. Not very good. But obviously, the whole group is a fucking banana skin, basically. It's like a bunch of bananas that have been just put on the floor, mashed up a bit, and then someone's just given you like a really massive slipper and just said, there you go, do you want to have a little stroll in my room? And everywhere you go, like literally, it's mad. So, and then obviously Marseille again, you know, second in the league, but still, you know, quite far behind PSG and in a league of quite poor quality. And then obviously Sporting Lisbon, second in the league as well, but I've sold a few players and have started quite badly. I think they've drawn one and lost two of their first three games, maybe. I know that they're quite far down the table. So what were your thoughts on the draw, and were you as excited as I am to maybe win this group, or do you think, you know, classic Tottenham, we're just gonna stumble up? Are we different now, aren't we? Please say yeah, Lee.
Yeah, we're different. But it still doesn't stop the fans from going, we might just make this hard work harder than it needs to be. Look, I think as draws go, and having a year out of the Champions League, and so, you know, and having what we've experienced under recent managers, that was perfect, really, really and truly. That was perfect. That's one to just get the taste buds going again, you know. You would say banana skin, yeah, but I don't think with Conte. I think Conte will have them on point approaching this. I think he's got the right squad, or piecing together the right squad as we go, to approach it in the right manner. So, yeah, we're coming out of the group. Dare I say, as winners? Let's wait and see.
I think we can really be confident. Honestly, if you look at Frankfurt, they're definitely beatable. And, you know, I think they're going to be good. Trying to work out of an analogy of some sort of footwear that Conte might give the team to stop us slipping on banana skins. Can't think of it. Like spikes, maybe? It's weird, like a snowshoe. Anyway, are you guys going to be going to any of the games? Are you going to be joining us?
I'll try to, probably not away, but I'm definitely going to try and go to some of the home fixtures. Yeah. Good. I think, like Lee was saying, it's... Look, I'm going to be real here. As with all of our other Champions League campaigns, I've always felt if you win your home games, you're going to go through. So that's how we have to take. I think we have to go into it. Win. We've got a fantastic stadium. If we can win the games at home, then we'll go through, and we should what would be great, I mean, in some cases, is to be going through with, you know, a game to spare, so you can
use that game to... I was thinking that as well, actually. I was thinking about that, and the last game, I think, is a Marseille game, so I was thinking that, do I want to be going to Marseille for that? And obviously, away days are not all about the result anyway, you know, it's just a wicked, wicked adventure going on away day, so Kofi obviously didn't want to come, so he's left us.
Yeah, well, I want to get on an away day, so I'll definitely be looking about to get involved in one of those. And just as Don said there, like about the home matches and winning the home matches, when we look at that stadium, and obviously it's much spoken about, these are the nights, aren't they? Champions League nights at home, in our stadium. That's what the whole stadium was built for, you know, nights like that, surely.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I'm going to say this, you know, taking our Premier League form, just leaving it to one side, I really do hope that we try to play with more flair in Europe, the way we have done in the past. You know, these magical nights that I've seen at our new ground and at the Lane, where we've played with just a little bit more, and we've touched on it before, just on the front foot, the minute that whistle goes, we've been at it. I really hope to start seeing that. I mean, if it continues in the league, then so be it. We win the games. But I feel like the Champions League is just a different ball game. We had those
nights at Wembley. Weirdly, that was where it happened. And obviously previously, with obviously, you know, the Bale, Inter Milan game, which would always stick in the memory. But yeah, we had those nights against Real Madrid and Dortmund a couple of occasions. And yeah, that's the kind of thing that you want, to be fair. And there's no reason why we can't do it. Do you know what I mean? And I think also the players will be up for it more. You can't help but feel that whole atmosphere and occasion and everything. But that will be amazing. It will be amazing, amazing occasion. And if you can't be up for a game, and if you can't start well in a game like that and can't want to entertain, you know, this is the biggest stage, then, you know, you're in the wrong game. And I can't see that happening, to be fair. I think we will thrive from it. Fingers crossed we'll get across.
Those games come thick and fast, right, Noel? You was on about, you know, they came through late, but they come through thick and fast. So those six matches will be all wrapped up by the pre-season break, won't they? Mid-season break, if I'm right, I think
it's November the 7th. Yeah, so it's normally December the 11th, I think, last game.
Yeah. So the other thing about that as well is, actually, if we continue our good league form, if we can get in a good place, where, like Don was saying, where we've already qualified, and give ourselves a little bit of a breather there, you know, to carry on the league front, we could go into that winter break. And all of a sudden, that transfer window again, you know, looks very inviting. Like Tottenham become a very, you know, it becomes a place where you actually want to go. You know, qualifies for next round of Champions League, sitting like up in the top four of the Premier League. World Cup's now done. So you've got to remember, there's a lot of players out there who are playing at teams where they probably like to leave, probably wouldn't mind coming to Tottenham, but can't guarantee that they'll get a start in place. So let them get the World Cup out of the way, and then all of a sudden, they might want to get involved. You know, once the World Cup's done, once the second half of that season starts, if we're still in Champions League, we become a very, 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 very attractive. We become to a lot of players. So I think there's lots to play for on and off the pitch here, and for the second half of the season. I think this season really has to be dealt with in two segments. Yeah. And I'm sure Conte is a clever enough man to deal, but I really think approach part one and part two can still undertake a real different look.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you feel on the transfer front that, and a lot of teams, it seemed that we were spending a lot of money, but right now, you know, West Ham have spent more money than us, Chelsea have spent more money than us, United have gone mad. Mm-hmm. You know, Liverpool look like they may even spend some more money. And I like what you said about it being in two parts. Are we essentially saving a sort of an emergency pot for the second window for this season?
Possibly, but I'd say more so towards a certain player. You know, a player that would say, right, okay, I would come to Spurs, but I'm not sure that I'm happy or ready to rotate with somebody, not with a World Cup just like a couple of months away. But once the World Cup's been, yeah, I'd come and join Spurs, and I'd happily rotate with Kulusevski, or I'd happily rotate with Højbjerg in the middle and fight for a place. I don't think they want to do that in the lead up to a World Cup. So we could well have a player in our sights that would join us in that window, but just necessarily right now doesn't fancy it because they don't want to risk their World Cup place.
Yeah.
So it's that time of the evening where we speak to the opposition fan once again, and I'm very happy to be joined on the line by James Jones, Mr. James Jones from We Are West Ham. Welcome, James, to the show.
Thanks, chaps. Thanks for having me.
So firstly, just want to have a sort of quick catch up about your thoughts on where you are as a team at the moment in terms of like the season. Obviously, last season was a great season for you guys. And, you know, we had Jarrod Bowen setting the world on fire. This season doesn't seem to be as hot. But just wanted to catch up your thoughts for sort of about how you're feeling with the manager and where your sort of like aspirations are for this season. And are you happy with the signings that you've made? Because you've made quite a few now. So it seems to be, you know, you're building up the squad quite nicely. Just wanted to sort of catch up about where you feel you are as a team at the moment.
Well, I think after the success of last season, we came into the beginning of the summer with lots of optimism, lots of high hopes. We knew that we needed a lot more depth in the squad. We knew that there needed to be a lot of activity transfer wise, because I mean, you could say arguably that the reason why we didn't get to the Europa League final, potentially even win it, was because by the end of the season, all our players were knackered because we just had no options on the bench. We were relying on poor old Yarmolenko to come on and save the day a few times. And he did that pretty well. But I mean, it was literally all we had. So we were optimistic, though. We thought, you know, there's going to be plenty of money to spend. So we were led to believe, and you know, we can get some signings to the door. And to be fair, we've done that. We've just literally announced Lucas Paqueta, which I'm still a little bit baffled by, to be fair. I thought he'd go to a team playing in the Champions League. So how we've managed to get him, I don't know. But
yeah, a few of my Arsenal mates were absolutely gutted at that, to be fair, because yeah, they thought he was going to be going to them. So they're pissed off. And now obviously you have the midfielder Paqueta Rice, which is just surely exactly, like the best thing ever. Like
exactly.
That,
yeah.
Like, if you don't have that up into a song, then you lose. You just, you know, you miss.
I'm sure there's someone somewhere in their bedroom trying to work something out right now. But yeah, it's been a really, really good summer for us. Obviously, the start of the season hasn't been kind of what we were hoping for. Obviously, it's difficult when you start at home to Man City with Erling Haaland, with half a defence, because you know, we bought a centre back at the beginning of the summer and he had ankle surgery because he limped off against Rangers in a friendly and he's out for 3 months. So start of the season hasn't been great. We're very unlucky against Forest, terribly against Brighton, and good for 45 minutes against Villa at the weekend. And thankfully, had Villa been any better, they probably would have beaten us, but they were poor under Gerrard. So we managed to finally get our first goal of the season, 3 points, and we're in the group stage of the Conference League, which is good. Yeah, barring losing our first three games without scoring a goal, now we're off the mark in the Premier League. We've got through our qualifier, which is always a little bit of a slippery slope, but it can be a European qualifier. Got through that unscathed. So given the signing today, we've spent 170 million quid this summer. It really feels like we're now ready to go this season. We've got depth, you know, we've got a lot of quality in the squad now. We just need those new signings to come in and gel, and then we'll be on our way again.
So what are the other signings that you're really looking forward to seeing this season? Because I know you've got the Italian striker up front, which name who I'm probably not going to try and pronounce, Scamacca?
Scamacca, yeah. Yeah, I mean, David Moyes has been quite careful with them. He's openly said, look, they need time to be bedded in. Don't know why Cornet needs time to be bedded in, because he played for Burnley last season in the Premier League. So, and we've not seen a great deal of him apart from in Europe. Scamacca came in, obviously. He probably needs a bit of time. Has looked a little bit slow, but didn't really get a great deal of service against Villa. But I'm pretty sure he'll come good. Very, very highly rated in Italy. And then we bought Agüero, who's the defender that got injured. Again, another highly rated defender over in France, Moroccan international. Who else did we sign? It's been so many. Flynn Downs from Swansea, massive West Ham fan. He's kind of come in to kind of replace the Mark Noble void that's been left. literally diehard West Ham. Openly said that he thought people were winding him up when he found out that he was going to West Ham for a medical. So yeah, he was pinching himself for weeks after, couldn't sleep and stuff like that. So that was quite nice. And then we got Emerson from Chelsea, the left back.
Yeah, that was a better one as well.
I think that's a really good, really sort of shrewd signing for us, to be fair, because he's got the Premier League experience. He's in a position where we've only got one player, so it offers a lot of depth. But then he was underwhelming against Villa on his debut and got hauled off at half time, where we changed formation to change it the first half. It wasn't working. So, I mean, every single signing I've been pleased with. And we got Areola in. Obviously, he was on loan last year. We got him in on the permanent. So I've been pleased with every single one of them. But there's a few that they might need a little bit of time. And I'm under no illusions that Paqueta is going to need a little bit of time to get used to the Premier League and you know, be influential for us. But I've no doubt he will.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he's not. Well, is he going to play on Wednesday? I hope he's not going to play on Wednesday.
We signed him in time. I'll be very surprised, given how Moyes has been always, they need time. Yeah. Just chill out a little bit. I'll be very surprised if he starts, but I'm pretty sure he'll be on the bench.
Okay. So what sort of team should we be facing, or what are we looking at in terms of lineup? Is it going to be, is it Antonio up front at the moment? Is he around? What's the fact with him?
I think it probably will be Antonio. I think West Ham fans generally want to see Scamacca start every game now. I mean, we spent a lot of money on him. And if he's been brought in to be the long-term Antonio replacement, so why not start the games with him? And if you need Antonio now is better off the bench anyway. He's more effective. He was against Villa. But I don't know. It'd be one of the two. But it's good.
He would probably play two up front, or he wouldn't?
No, he won't.
That the formation that he stuck with. Yeah.
I mean, we started against Villa with five at the back, and it very, very, very obviously it just doesn't work for us. We were so poor. Half time, hauls Emerson off, goes 4-2-3-1, which is the formation that was so successful for us last year. And suddenly we started playing football. Benrahma came on at half time, played in the number 10 role, and was superb. Probably the best game he's ever had in a West Ham shirt since we signed him. So The team that finished the game against Villa is probably, maybe question marks over who starts over Antonio and Scamacca, will probably be the starting 11 on Wednesday night with Rice and Suchek in midfield.
Okay. So before we get on to the actual game itself, what are your thoughts, or how do you feel about the Tottenham rivalry? Because I'm always surprised by it, because there seems to be a lot of hatred between from West Ham fans to Tottenham, more so I think from the other way around, which I always find, like, whenever I go to the West Ham games away, I mean, I remember going to the Lasagna Gate game, and fuck me, literally, it was they, you went, like, the West Ham fans weren't even watching the game. It was basically Champions League, you're having a laugh, like, coating us, like, absolutely coating us. So there does seem to be a real rivalry there, and I don't know. I mean, from a West Ham perspective, what are your thoughts on Tottenham as a team and that rivalry and that hatred, and where does that stem from? Because we're not that local rivals, and we've not. It's just, I always find it quite a strange one.
No, I think most of it stems from the fact, but I think there's two parts to it really. I think that most of it stems from the fact that, okay, we're not, you know, we're East London and North London, but the majority of our fans are Essex based. I think, obviously, they're all going to school together, they're all growing up together, they're all working with each other, you know, during the week. So I think that's one half. And two, our actual proper East London rivals, we haven't been in the same league with them for God knows how long in Millwall. And I personally, although Millwall are the bitter rivals at West Ham, I don't really see them as rivals anymore, because, you know, even when we were in the Championship, we were in the league, one, two seasons at most with them. Those games were a little bit fiery, but other than that, like, we just don't have anyone to call a rival, really, especially if you're not playing Millwall every season. So I think that's another part of it. And I mean, from my own personal experience, I've got a lot of mates who are Spurs fans and really, really good friends of mine. But when it comes to talking about football, they're the most unbearable fans in the world. And it's just like, and my boss is a Spurs fan, CEO is a Spurs fan. So, like, everywhere I go, there's
what
Tottenham.
What a great life you lead.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty mad. I can't get away from Tottenham. So yeah, I mean, that for me personally, that's why, like, I look at Spurs and don't take this the wrong way, lads, but I just hope you lose every week, if I'm honest.
That's fine. I mean, there are lots of Tottenham fans. There are lots of Tottenham fans that feel the same. But yeah. I just think. But the weird thing about rivalry is, like, I grew up in North London. My school was like half Tottenham, half Arsenal, and so my fiercest rivals are Arsenal, and I'm the same with Arsenal. I want them to lose every week. West Ham, yeah. I'm not as bothered about, and the same with even Chelsea. Obviously, Chelsea because they're a rival in the sort of top half of the table. But yeah. I think it's a Tottenham fans that I speak to nowadays. Some of my friends they hate Chelsea more than Arsenal because they weren't brought up in North London. So I think you're right in talking about sort of upbringing. I think that does mean a lot because you have those rivalries formed from a very young age, and I think that does make a lot of sense. So it should be a good game anyway. Fingers crossed. Now you've got your win. Bit of confidence, and obviously you guys are always up for it against us. I just think sometimes, I mean, obviously there was the horrible 3-3 that we all remember.
That's super. It's such an injustice that fans weren't in the ground for that. I really wish fans were in the ground for that.
But. That would have kicked off. Well, it might have been a different result if that happened. But anyway, it was horrible. So obviously, you know, you guys have got a decent record against us. Better sometimes at our place than at your place, which is interesting. So are you expecting quite an open game? How have you been sort of defensively? Because obviously we are more of a counter-attacking team, as we saw against Forest on Sunday. So how are you thinking that you guys are going to approach the game?
Well, we've won the last two, I think, at home against Spurs. So, I mean, and I know Tottenham fans always say it, but we always do tend to just raise our game a little bit when we're playing Spurs. And I think that'll be the case again on Wednesday. Defensively, we've not been too bad. Another signing, Tilo Kehrer, who we got from PSG, he was immense against Villa. He looks like he's been going to be a really good addition, him alongside Zouma. And just a lot. A lot more solid at the back with those two. We haven't been that bad defensively, to be fair. I mean, we lost 2-0 to City, and that was with Ben Johnson playing at centre back. So just shows that, you know, we can be relatively solid when we want to be. I do fear Spurs in terms of pace. I know that Conte's come out and said Richarlison is probably going to be in the starting 11, which probably means Son's going to drop out because he's not been in form. Or that pleases me a little bit because Son just loves playing against West Ham, and his pace get up against our defence always frightens the life out of me. But I think it will it be open? I don't know. I think we will do what we love doing, and just kind of sit back and hope to catch you on the counter. That's what our success has been built on over the last 2 years. We can play football when we want to. But we're far better without the ball. We're a far better football team without the ball, and we like to catch teams on the counter, soak up a little bit of pressure, and then go for it. So I think that's probably how we will set up against you on Wednesday. But I think it's going to be tight. Over the last few years, it's been a lot tighter than the few years before when we were shocking and always in relegation battles and regularly getting, you know, I think I was at White Hart Lane in the Spurs end when he battled us 4-1. And I think it's probably the last time that you really well beat us. So we're getting better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be an interesting game because, you know, you started the season well. I watched you against Forest at the weekend and was impressed. So that worried me, to be fair. But it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be a tight London derby.
So over to the Tottenham fans now to talk about firstly the lineup and how we think we're going to approach the game. So Lee, I know you've been not necessarily calling for, but you think that the substitution or the change in the lineup might happen in terms of Richarlison in for Son and or Kulusevski, maybe not. Obviously, he's been coming on for Son in the past few games and was it impactful against, obviously, Forest. Do you think that's going to happen on Wednesday, or do you think that might happen against Fulham?
No, I think it happens Wednesday. And I just feel a bit sorry for Son, because when Kane was going through his dip and when we're talking about him leaving or staying, Son became the main man. He became a real crowd favourite. and he led from the front and he led the way and he went on to, you know, for last season, have a tremendous season. And I think he's clearly frustrated this season, and it just hasn't got his way. We spoke last week about him just snatching at chances. It's not that he's not in the right areas. He just seems to be snatching at it. So just seems a little bit off the pace. Whatever it may be, you know, just seems a little bit off the pace. And he needs one of those goals where he absolutely just shanks it and it deflects off someone else and, you know, dribbles in bottom corner and his season he'll be up and running. But from a football manager's point of view and from, you know, 60,000 fans in a stadium, you're looking at it now going, he's had four games, hasn't worked for him. And three of those four games where Richarlison's come on, things have happened. You know, things have happened. He's like, whether he's assisted, whether he's wound up 30,000 fans in the stadium and 3 million at home watching by the looks of things, because he can juggle a football. God forbid anybody do that. But he's got something about him, and he's earned the right to have a little start. So I think it happens this week just because the games are coming thick and fast. And then maybe Sonny goes back in again on Saturday, you know, result depending. But as James mentions there, Sonny's a menace towards the West Ham, the West Ham boys as well. And he does kind of have decent games against them. So Conte's got a real decision to make. But for me, I think we go same 11, bar Richarlison and Son. That'll be my switch.
Kofi, do you think that when a player is out of form, is that the way to go? Even as we said, if we do have a ready-made substitution who is looking like he's lively, is that not just a big, like, you know, slap in the face for someone who is already maybe a little bit short of confidence? Weirdly, obviously, the fact he's, you know, he was the Golden Boot winner last year, but obviously now he seems to be struggling. Is that the way, or is that better to actually have to persevere with that player and to get them to obviously, you know, get that lucky goal as Lee's alluding to?
I don't think there will be a slap in the face. I think that Son will play. I think Conte's quite old school. You look at the team that's been playing all season is the team that ended last season. Obviously, apart from Perisic now sort of starting. And I think that Conte will keep his faith in the guys that he's been putting on the pitch. I think as Lee was saying, you know, while he feels that Richarlison will play, Son just needs that little opportunity, that little chance, and, you know, that ball trickling in off, you know, any part of him, and then he'll start playing. You know, he'll have that confidence. So I see Son playing. I don't see that Conte will drop him.
Okay, all right. So, Don, obviously, you haven't said anything yet, and the first thing I'm going to do is ask you for your prediction. But firstly, I would like to know how you think the game's going to go. Obviously, we've heard from West Ham perspective in terms of I think it's going to be a tight game. What kind of game do you think we're going to expect? And by the end of your summary, I would like to hear your prediction, please.
I'm going to go with James. James is right. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm going to also agree with Kofi. I think that Son will start. He has so much joy against West Ham. I don't think that's going to change. I know Richarlison is definitely screaming out for a start, but I think Sonny, you know, he's their kryptonite. So I'm going to go with a Sonny start. In terms of my prediction for the match, I'm going to go 2-1 to Spurs.
2-1 to Spurs. Okay, yeah. Cool. My old classic prediction that I...
Sonny Brace.
A Sonny Brace.
A Sonny Brace.
Okay, Kurt, it's over to you. Prediction, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Don's nicked it. Don's nicked it there. I'm going to go for a 2-1. I don't think we've quite found our shooting boots yet. In most of the games, as you've seen, we've not been clinical enough. But we seem to be nicking two goals here or there. And I just think London Derby, it's going to be quite intense. I think there will be a standoff for a little while. We'll both let each other have the ball. You lot have it. No, you lot have it. No, you lot have it. You lot have it. And then it'll get to the 70th minute and it'll all just pop off. And I'm gonna put us down for a 2-1 and think we nick it near the end. But it'll be intense.
Okay, Kofi, over to you. I'm going to leave James till last because I know he's getting ready to say you're going to spank us. So you just, Kofi, what are you thinking?
Similarly, I think it's going to be interesting because, as James said, they like to play on the counter, and we've been playing on the counter all season this season. You know, we've been giving teams a lot of possession. It's been very nervy watching us, allowing people to enjoy the football. And, you know, fortunately, defence has played well. And I think we've been fortunate on a couple of occasions to nick goals. So I'm hoping for a change. I'm always positive, and I think, you know, now we'll get our season going. So I see West Ham scoring, absolutely. We play West Ham. It's never an easy game to watch, but I'm going to go 3-2.
3-2. Okay. Ooh, I'm fancying a draw on this one. To be fair, I'm fancying a draw. I think that, yeah, I still don't think we're playing that well. I think we've been lucky, to be fair, and I'm not sure if our luck is going to last with us continuing to pick up victories or to pick up draws that were undeserved, like Chelsea. So I think we might scrape a draw in this one. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-2, high scoring draw. So James, over to you. Final prediction.
Before I go, is Romero playing? Or is he still injured?
He's still injured.
That's good, because he's by far the best centre-back in the Premier League, by the way.
Hey, well, listen, Davinson Sanchez has not conceded a goal in 10 hours. So
I saw that stat the weekend. But,
what are you talking about, boy?
But you're Romero is...
Big Dave's going to have
Antonio. I love Romero. I love Romero. I think he's a very good player. But up against, if Scamacca plays, then I think he might cause... Romero probably would have kept him quiet, but he might cause his centre-backs
a few
problems.
He also might have kicked him in the air.
Yeah, yeah, because he's about 6'8", I think Scamacca is. But I don't know. I agree with Duarte. As I said before, it's going to be tight. I said in my podcast earlier, it's going to be 1-1, and I'm going to stick with that, I think. And I'd certainly take a point, given that, you know, yeah, okay, we're off the mark. We've got our first goal, first win of the season, but there's a number of signings there that still haven't quite clicked into the system that David Moyes wants, David Moyes is looking for, and I think it's probably going to take a little bit more time for that. So I'll certainly 100% take a point. I'll be very happy with that. So 1-1.
1-1, wicked. Nice one. Thank you, guys. Well, James, thanks so much for coming on, mate. Much appreciated. If you could just do, because what we do ask about opposition fans, obviously, is a prediction, so you can see yourself on the league table. But also, at the beginning of our show next week, we will just be sort of obviously reviewing Wednesday's game. So if you are able to send us just a little video of what your thoughts were on the game, and then we can sort of use that as a spark for our discussions, and that will be much appreciated.
Cool. Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me, and just let me know when you want the video to come in.
Yeah, no worries, I will do. And obviously, we do hope you lose, but still, thank you for coming on.
Likewise.
Thanks, James.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.
So, James was correct. We know this because this has been a very, very strange show, as I mentioned at the beginning, where we've been recording in different sections, recording in different days. So now we're actually still able to discuss the game that's already happened this week, which was the West Ham game. James was correct. He was correct. Our opposition fan was correct. 1-1. I was also sort of half correct with the fact I said a 2-2 draw. But I mean, what a frustrating game. And again, I sort of feel like we're almost getting away with one. I said exactly the same thing at the beginning of the show when I'm talking about the Forest game. We're getting away with one. We should have lost that game, but in a weird way, we should have been winning way before, maybe even 2-0, because they were sitting back a lot, West Ham. I didn't think they would sit back as much as they would, but they were waiting for us. And then we're basically, when they would attack, we obviously were quite sort of clinical on the break. And had opportunities. But again, we just didn't seem to really sort of like pop a go for the juggler there. We had more control of the ball, which is sort of a better start in a way from different games that we've had so far this season. I thought we controlled the first sort of half an hour and looked in sort of a good shape. Obviously got the goal. And then Son obviously had quite a good chance where it sort of was a 50p header, flew off his head. And then, I don't know, it was just a bit of a strange game. I thought second half, West Ham obviously came back into it, and obviously they were buoyed by the penalty VAR in the first half, and then they should have won it, to be fair. You know, those last 10-15 minutes, that was their moment, and they should have won it. So they will be much more gutted than we were. And again, if you look back at the game as a whole, we got away with one lead. Do you agree?
Yeah. And it, I guess everyone sees the kind of same thing. It's the possession we have. We have, you know, that first half hour, it's just not putting teams to bed when we're on the up, not being clinical enough when we've got the ball to take our chances. It's not clicking. It's not bad. It's not bad, but we're just not being clinical. So, you know, the fact that we're creating chances, the fact that teams are still terrified to come at us, like probably bar Chelsea, a lot of teams haven't really come at us. They are happy to sit back and try and, you know, assess us and see what we're ready to bring to them. And it does create a couple of chances. And we do just need to take more than the first one. We need to take two and make those teams come out at us. And once they come out at us, then it'll open up. A bit like Southampton, to be fair. You know, they had to come out. And once they came out, we found bigger gaps and gaps more often and exploited them. So, yeah, again, you know, we spoke about maybe team selection and I know Sonny had a good game. He had a better game. But we're just missing that clinical edge and we need it. You know, if we're going to put these teams to sleep, we need to.
You spoke about team selection, Kofi. Obviously, Bentancur was still concussed. So we gave Bissouma his full debut, and he had a start. Bit shaky, if I'm honest. I mean, he gave away that foul that wasn't a foul, which obviously pissed him off. And then he bounced the ball, which got a booking. And after about 20 minutes, then he was on a bit of a tightrope. But he, I mean, I suppose same with anyone, obviously. Confidence, gelling with his fellow teammates. It's going to take time. But it wasn't as a commanding as performance as maybe we would have hoped when we were calling for him to replace Højbjerg in the last few games.
Oh, yeah, we've been after some dynamism in the midfield, and Bissouma's the sort of player that is typically box-to-box. So he's going to defend well, get those tackles in, but he's going to give you that forward play that Højbjerg possibly doesn't give you for Spurs, but somehow does for Denmark. So we were hopeful. And then, you know, while we've got an injury, we've got a replacement. We've got someone who can come in and do something. So the anticipation's there. And I think that, you know, makes us feel worse because our anticipation was up here and what we got was okay, but not the scintillating midfielder that we were anticipating. As you say, it'll come. It's a bit of settling in. It's, you know, first game, first start away from home. It'll come and he'll be fine.
Conte did say in his presser today that Bissouma was a step behind the three other midfielders, Skip included. I didn't see the full thing to know exactly what he was referring to, but I'm assuming it was just sort of freshness and obviously, as I said before, just, you know, getting used to playing with the team. Who impressed you in the game, Lee? And actually talking about Skip, very good to see him on the bench, even though he didn't come on. Potentially may play at the weekend. We don't know. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, who impressed you in the West Ham game? And happy for you, not a great game for him, to be fair.
Again, I think, you know, when people check this, is, you know, if the guys don't know, and like our little WhatsApp group, I'm not a fan of stats when people are generally chucking stats around. I think stats hide a lot.
I didn't come up with a stat. I said the stat, which was almost 10 hours of football before Sancho conceded. And then he obviously did concede. And, you know, I mean, looking at that goal, looking at a few chances they created, that was like almost that sort of shit pinball football that we were doing last season when we had our little moments like against Wolves and Southampton at home, when it was like someone just cleared the ball. And Perisic was massively guilty of that. It was like, just clear your lines. And it was like, what the fuck are you doing? Great touch from Antonio, got to be said. Really, really clever little ball. And I think the luck of the, basically just the touch that Souček took, which sort of took it away from the defender and almost literally into his path for him to half-volley in. It was a lucky touch, but a great goal. Great goal nonetheless.
I mean, as much as we're going to be critical of our own team, which is natural, sometimes you do have to tip your hat and say, that was a good goal. You know, they look at it, if that was our team scored that goal, that was a good goal. But yeah, that's the difference when Romero's not playing. You know, that just that cooler head, having three players who are a lot cooler, or maybe two of the three. I mean, Davis has his moments. Sometimes he can be a little bit rash. So, you know, when you've got Dyer, who's pretty laid back, and then you've got Romero, who's very cool and controlled, you're then only worrying about one person maybe slashing at the ball or being out of shape. And I'd pick Davis over Sanchez every time in terms of calmness and coolness on the ball or in and around it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame it came to that. I don't think we had any real standout players, and it was no shock to me that the goal came from Kane, or, like, you know, it was created by Kane and his running.
It was Kulusevski who made it to an extent, I think.
Well, yeah. you say that, but there's a lot to be said for Kane's run, because naturally a lot of players would have veered back into the middle of the goal at that point and not actually on the outside of him from 12 yards out. I mean, Kane's run, it was. Yeah. It blew my mind a little bit, because I'm like, why are you going around the outside of him there? You know, especially if you're a centre forward, you actually just peel off into the middle of the box. So, yeah again, just a moment of genius from Kane, really. He's kept us, you know, he's got us another point. And we will talk about other things, but what we will say, and it's important, is 8 points picked up that we didn't have last year in these fixtures.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it was, I think overall we should be happy, but like I said, I think it's just more frustrating than anything else. I think also Perisic should have a mention, even though, like I said, it was some rubbish defending at times. He was an outlet. His balls were, you know, getting up there, and it was good to see. It was good to see, and his set pieces were decent as well. So I thought, I thought he played quite well. Obviously, on the other side, again, I mean, they were actually targeting Sanchez, I felt, when they were sort of doing the press. They were waiting for Sanchez to get the ball, knowing that he wasn't massively comfortable on the ball, and then they were literally rushing sort of like two or three men on him, which I've not seen before. So
his outlet naturally would be to open his body up and go out to the right, and there's once you finish with dinner, there's your dessert if you're an attacking, you know, if you're the attacking team. Sanchez to Cassino, I'm all over that. I'm all over that. All over that.
I think it's now time to talk about Fulham. So one thing we should mention, I suppose, firstly, is that looking at, like, it's going to be a little bit of a difference in the lineup because of, obviously, with the fact we have Marseille coming up. So Perisic potentially might make way for Sessegnon. Royale might make way for Doherty. I think those are the two changes that people seem to be touting. Lee, what do you think the lineup is going to be? And do you think those changes are going to be made?
I've seen some of the clips from training today, and they seem to be homing in a lot on Doherty and Cess. So I wonder if that's kind of where those sort of rumours have come from. I would imagine that obviously Romero sits straight back in. So Happy Feet can have a little rest. His work is done here. And believe it or not, I think we missed the control at the edge of the box and in and around our half with Bentancur. So I think he'll come back in. And I think it'll be about bringing him back up to speed. The fullbacks is interesting. So, yeah, I think he'll start with Sessegnon, try and give Perisic a rest with a view to the midweek game. And if it's not going well, he'll bring him on. And there's no reason why Doherty shouldn't be able to get 90. And I'm a bit worried that actually he plays 90 and Emerson's are in midweek. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, let's.
I don't want to dwell on that.
I think
not dropping Sonny on you guys called it. I thought he may have, with a view to bringing him back today. I don't see him changing the front three. He may even leave Kulusevski out.
He did bring him off obviously on Wednesday, but he was obviously creative. He was doing his thing, so it was a surprise. But Richarlison again came on and he did it lively. I think he's almost deserving of a start. It's an interesting one to see how it happened. Kofi, what are your thoughts on the game? And after your thoughts, I'd like to hear your predictions on what the score is going to be.
I think it's going to be more difficult than we probably thought when the fixtures came out. Fulham you know, just come up, should be an easier team to beat. But we're struggling at the minute. You know, yes, we're struggling, but we're getting points, which is great. And I think our form isn't going to turn around this week. So I think it'll be tough to watch, but we'll just about get there. I am concerned about Mitrovic. His form is better than it's ever been in the Premier League. He's bringing that championship form through. And I just hope Vinicius doesn't play, because that's got irony written all over it.
I think a little bit too late, but maybe. You never know. He might be on the bench.
Hopefully he's a long way from there. But yeah, I'm always looking out for a win. I think we'll get there, but I think it'll be a difficult watch. So I'm going 2-1.
Strong. I knew you were going to say 2-1. I literally had, it was just there in my head. Lee, what are your thoughts? I'm scared. I didn't even know what to say now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight. I think it's going to be a tighter game than we envisioned. Like Kofi says, when those fixtures came out, I think they've done some good business. I think they've played quite well, and they've worked out how to play to their strengths this year. So I don't think there's any surprises in the way they'll approach it. So it's more about the way we stand up to it. But again, you know, people and lots of managers talk about our front three and the way we attack people. So, you know, we're looking at it from their attacking point of view, i.e. Mitro. But there's fans somewhere, sat somewhere, going Son, Kulusevski, Kane, Richarlison coming on. You know, so that we kind of forget that sometimes when we're talking. So I think it'll be real London derby vibes. I think it'll be contested, well contested. But I think it'll be close. But I think we'll go with a late one. But I'm going to go for 3-1. I think we're going to nick it. I think we're going to add a third one on at the end. And I think we are going to put the ball in the net this time.
Well, hopefully that is pretty much the aim of the game. Oh man, I'm really torn on this one, because I've just got visions of Mitrovic obviously scoring. But I think coming up against Romero, that is a matchup that is going to be a serious battle, which I think should be quite fun to watch. Dearie me, what to go for? I really don't know. Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 as well then. I do think we might nick it. I was going to say 1-1, but got to be confident in my boys. And I think, yeah, the crowd, I think, will get us over the line. Thank you guys for joining me once again. Absolute pleasure. And Ozzy, obviously, for your valuable input. Fingers crossed we get 3 points on Saturday. It's going to be a good game. So I hope everyone enjoys the game. And come on, you Spurs, as always.